This is VOA News, reporting via remote. I'm Jeff Custer. Massive explosions rocked a military depot in the Russian-occupied Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine Tuesday, igniting fires and forcing the evacuation of more than 3,000 people. Large-scale blasts occurred at an ammunition storage facility in Moskoye, the second time in a week explosions have occurred at Russian outposts in the territory it seized from Ukraine in 2014. Russia, without pinpointing perpetrators, called the latest explosions an act of sabotage. They followed last week's attack at the Sankey Air Force Base that destroyed 9 Russian warplanes. Ukraine has not claimed responsibility for the Moskoye incident or other attacks in the region, though some Ukrainian officials have hinted they are behind the attacks. If true, it could mean Ukraine has the capability to strike deeper into Russian territory, potentially changing the dynamic of the 6 month conflict. The explosions are just the latest setback for Russian military that expected to easily and quickly take over Ukraine. The Institute for the Study of War, or ISW, studies conflicts and assesses how they're carried out. Senior ISW analyst Catherine Lawler spoke with VOA's Flashpoint program about Ukraine's struggles, or about Russia's struggles in Ukraine. She said the Russian army lacks coordinated leadership and has been forced to defend a huge front line that stretches the length of the country.
Russian forces have also dramatically underperformed throughout the war. They have this piecemeal command structure. They've really struggled to recruit additional forces and certainly to train those forces. Recruitment's a huge problem for them. They don't want the political cost of a full-scale mobilization, so the recruitment is low quality and hodgepodge.
Lawler describes the Russian army at this point of the war as degraded with little concentrated combat power, which explains its struggles. This is VOA News. China imposed visa bans and other sanctions Tuesday on Taiwanese political figures as it raises pressure on the self-governing island and the U.S. in response to successive U.S. congressional visits there. The sanctions came a day after China set more military exercises in the seas and skies surrounding Taiwan in response to what it called collusion and provocation between the U.S. and Taiwan. There's been no word on the timing and scale of the Chinese exercises. They were announced the same day as a U.S. congressional delegation led by Massachusetts Senator Steve Markey, with Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen. After a similar visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the highest-level member of the U.S. government to visit Taiwan in 25 years. The Chinese government objects to Taiwan having any official contact with foreign governments because it considers Taiwan its own territory, and its recent saber-rattling has emphasized its threat to take over the island by military force if possible, or if necessary. Britain's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or MHRA, Monday became the first in the world to authorize the use of U.S. drug maker Moderna's so-called bivalent COVID-19 vaccine, designed to protect against both the original virus and the Omicron variant. Such an approach, combining protections against several strains of the same disease, is used with flu shots, which are adjusted each year depending on the variants that are circulating and can protect against 4 influenza strains. In an interview with broadcaster ITN, British Health Secretary Steve Barclay applauded the move.
It's a hugely positive step. The UK is the first place to license this through the MHRA. It means that UK patients will have access to the broader immunity that the bivalent vaccine offers. So it's an exciting potential, and it's good news for the UK population.
The World Health Organization reports the latest global surge of COVID-19 has been driven by Omicron variant BA5, which is responsible for about 70% of the virus samples shared with the world's largest public virus database. South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol has called for closer relations with Japan to overcome common threats in the region. It marks a significant change of approach under his new administration, which took power in May of this year. Speaking at a ceremony this week in Seoul to mark the 77th anniversary of his country's liberation from Japanese rule at the end of World War II, Yoon said, "Today, Japan is our partner as we face common threats that challenge the freedom of global citizens." Yoon called for extensive cooperation in multiple fields, including economics, security, and cultural exchanges. Repeating the hour's top story, massive explosions rocked a military depot in the Russian-occupied Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine Tuesday, igniting fires and forcing the evacuation of more than 3,000 people. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer.